Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I am your host, Mark Berti, the content marketing expert, bringing you three new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgaberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. The work that we have to do, it can really add up, and we're doing this all to achieve our ambitions, to go towards this direction that we envision ourselves living our ideal lives, but there are a lot of road bumps that we hit along the way, and it's during these moments, these downward spirals where we can really question ourselves. We can question, why are we really doing this? Is there going to be any success for me? Is this manifestation even possible? Or am I just dreaming of a fantasy? It is in these moments where we really need to have a strong sense of faith towards what we are doing. We're going to focus on how we can build our faith in what we're doing. It's something that it helps when things are good. It is essential when things are not looking so good. So we're going to talk about that in this episode. Today's guest, he's going to help us with this episode. He's the lead pastor of North Point Community Church, providing visionary and directional leadership for all the local church staff and congregation. He understands firsthand how to manage the tension of not only leading when you're not in charge, but also finding the faith to pursue your ideals, pursue your big ambitions when things are good and when things are bad. So today's guest for episode 271 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Clay Scroggins. Clay, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, Mark. Glad to be on the show, man. 271 episodes. That's remarkable, man. Way to go.
Clay, thank you for being on this episode 271, as mentioned before, and I really want to tackle the faith aspect because it's easy to believe in ourselves when things are going well. It's when things are going bad, you really need to have that faith in yourself, faith in what you're doing in order to really propel yourself and hit your goals. So I'm wondering, before we get into all that, if you could give us some background into what attracted you to becoming the lead pastor of the North Point Community Church and sharing a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. I grew up in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, which this time of year, a lot of talk about football in that little town. Moved to Atlanta, Georgia to attend Georgia Tech, studied industrial engineering. I told them, I said, listen, if you will give me this degree, I will promise to never use it. Because I had such a hard time getting through engineering. But I guess probably about maybe, 3/4 of the way through school, I had gotten plugged into this church in North Atlanta called North Point Community Church. It was a pretty new community of faith and it was doing a lot to help the community. And I started volunteering there, started serving there as I was a college student and just fell in love with the mission and the vision of what they were doing as an organization to try to help people and to try to help people make better decisions, have fewer regrets, help make the world a brighter place. And I graduated from college, finally went to Dallas, Texas to go to seminary, got a master's in theology, ended up getting a doctorate in theology as well. Met my wife in Dallas, Texas. She's a Texan. We've got 5 kids, Mark. We got a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old. We got a 5-year-old. We got a 3-year-old. And we got a little 9-month-old.
Wow.
And so our hands are full, but it's all right now it's a lot of fun. Our 7-year-old is about to start playing flag football on Saturday. So that's what I'm most excited about. And about a year ago, I published published this book called How to Lead When You're Not in Charge, which has been so much fun. I've had more conversations about leading through influence rather than authority than I ever imagined that I would have. And I've been looking forward to today's conversation as well.
And I would briefly like to touch on that book, because that whole idea of leading when you're not in charge is a very interesting idea. I'm wondering, like, what is the mindset we need to have if we want to lead, whether we are or are not in charge?
Yeah, great question. I feel like mindset, I love that you start there, because it really does start in the mind. I feel like too often in my own life, I've noticed that there's a tendency to believe a lie, or I would say maybe to believe a myth about leadership. And that is that if you're in charge, then you're a leader. If you've got the title, if you've got the position, if you've got the corner office or the parking spot, then, well, you must be a leader. But we all, I think intuitively, we know that's not true, because we know people who have authority and aren't necessarily leading well. So if it's true that authority is not what makes a leader, then it really begs the question, what really does make a leader if it's not authority? And I genuinely believe that it's influence, that influence is what really makes leadership work. I think influence, it's like if you were to slice open the concept of leadership, it would ooze influence, because influence is the essence of leadership, the ability to move people, the ability to inspire people, the ability to convince people to do what they don't want to do to accomplish what they want to accomplish. That really is what influence is, which is ultimately what leadership is. And if it's true that you don't have to be in charge in order to lead, then I have found this to be a really hopeful message for anybody, whether you're in charge or not. Because even the best leaders, the ones that have some sort of authority, they still find a way to lead through influence and not through authority, because that's the way we all want to be led anyway. So I really believe your question is the best place to start. It's got to start in the mind. It's got to start by convincing yourself that if influence really is leadership, then I can be a leader no matter what position I'm in, no matter how many people work for me or how many people don't. So that's the concept of the book. That's the essence of the book.
And I really love this distinction between influence and authority, because authority is just based on a title, but influence is based on the impact you have on individuals. And even if you don't have that status, then you're influential to people. They see you as a leader. So I really like that distinction, that focus on influence, because that's definitely a lot more important than like having the authority, because that doesn't necessarily equate to effective leadership. So one of the things that, like speaking of influence, one of the things that influences our ability to lead and become successful is our faith in ourselves, our faith in what we're heading towards. So how do you recommend we build our faith in our work, what we're doing, and the direction we're heading in?
Yeah, you know, all of us have faith. I mean, no matter if we're speaking in religious terms or just in terms of what you're doing today, all of us believe in something. And obviously, I think in that core of who you are, in your soul and your heart and the immaterial part of you where your decisions ultimately are made, you've got to decide, is what I'm working on, is what I'm working toward worth believing in? And if you're not convinced of that, then other people are not going to be convinced of that. And faith is a huge component of influence, that in order to be able to have influence with people, you've got to really be able to believe in whatever product you're selling, whatever organization you're working for, that there's a guiding force that's leading you or prompting you along, spurring you along the continuum of life. And so I think your observation is a crucial one, that faith has a huge component, particularly in developing influence with others.
And when it comes to faith, I feel like a lot of people understand how important it is. Again, not just from a religious standpoint, because obviously a lot of people have a lot of different beliefs on that, but in the faith and what we're doing and who we are, things like that is important. But while I feel like a lot of people recognize that, there are some people who maybe they've had a lot of faith in themselves in a long time. They hit this really bad bump in the road. And now it's like, what do I do now? Am I making a mistake? Is this not meant for me? What have I been doing? So for those people who they've been doing pretty good, They've really been ambitious. They've really been putting in the work, but for some reason they feel stuck, and they're just having a little bit more difficult time channeling in that faith. What would you recommend for that person for staying faithful during some of the more difficult times?
Yeah, the concept of the book that I wrote is obviously all about influence versus authority. It's all about how do I be a person that's constantly cultivating influence, developing influence, so that I can leverage that influence when I lack authority. I feel like a huge component to cultivating influence is leading yourself well. And part of what your question entails is those moments of self-leadership where we have to pick ourselves up, where we have to challenge ourselves, we have to pull ourselves along, which is not new to any one of us. Every one of us has had to do that at some point in our life. We've had to develop that that internal courage to be able to make a tough decision or make a risky decision. So much of self-leadership is the ability to talk to ourselves, which is probably the most constant conversation that you have all day long is the conversation you're having with yourself. And it's being able to encourage yourself, being able to build yourself up enough to say, hey, this is worth it. This is possible. And because of that, I'm going to put in the work, or I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to step out there and be more courageous. I feel like all of self-leadership ultimately is determined by your own identity. How do you see yourself? How do you believe other people see you? And in the book, I begin with the concept of identity, because leading without authority challenges our identity, because so many people place their identity in how much authority they do or they do not have. And in order to be a person that says, hey, irregardless of how much authority I have, I want to be developing influence, you've got to be able to look past the authority deprivation that you might feel, so that you can lead yourself well today, so that you can coach yourself up enough to be able to be a person that's cultivating influence, whether you have authority or not.
And you mentioned identity, which I believe is something very important. And I feel like people have an idea of, like, you know, who they are, obviously, but when it comes to, like, what do you do, what do you specialize in, or questions like that, we can sometimes draw a little bit of a blank. So what's your recommendation for being able to create an identity and being able to verbalize that when in a conversation?
Well, you know, this is where my faith comes into play, Mark. And I know you've got listeners that believe all kinds of things, but for me, I can't separate my identity from who God says that I am. I feel like we've all got voices that we listen to. You know, you've got the voice of your childhood, you've got the voice of your parents, you've got the voice of your boss, the voice of your friends, your coworkers, and all of those are important at different times in life. But I believe the best identity is the identity that's most closely aligned to who your creator thinks you are. And so you've got to make that determination on your own. Who do you believe that there is a designer or a creator, and who do you believe that designer has created you to be? And if so, if there is a designer, then making sure that that voice is the loudest voice in your life is crucial to you forming the healthiest sense of identity. That it can't just be about who your parents raised you to be, or who your friends are telling you that you're supposed to be, or even who your clients are demanding that you be. You've got to be most true to who God has created you to be. That's got to be the loudest voice in your life. And so, one of the most difficult things about faith is that it creates too much distinction. It creates too many, too much division. But I really believe that if we're armed with enough humility, that we could learn something from every person. And so if you can even get past what your own belief set is, to begin to turn up the voice of a Father in heaven who loves you, who cares about you, who believes in you, who's created you, if you can let that voice be the loudest voice in your life, I believe it's really the only thing that I've found that can help me through those difficult days where my identity is being questioned by the people around me, or by the people that I'm working for, or the people I'm working with. I just feel like it's crucial to your identity to turn that voice up the loudest.
And it's really interesting the approach you use, because there are a lot of different voices that are going to be in your life, but it's choosing to turn up the right voices, the ones that say, I believe in you, or God's voice, of course, depending on what your beliefs are, but turning up those important voices in your life. And you also mentioned humility also. And I feel like we all get the idea of, okay, it's good to be humble. Like that feels like an important thing. Like a lot of people who talk about it say that it's important. But how exactly can we become more humble?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I feel like what you're doing right now, Mark, is you're really, you are modeling humility by asking questions. I feel like the greatest exercise for humility is curiosity. Curiosity breeds humility because curiosity says, I don't know everything. I've still got a lot to learn. Have you ever noticed that arrogant people don't ask questions?
Yeah.
The reason why arrogant people don't ask questions is because they know everything. They don't have anything to learn. And so it can't be empty. It can't be without good intention. But even the spirit of curiosity itself, it tills the soil for humility in our lives because it allows us to practice the form of humility that says, hey, I'm not there yet. I don't know everything. I've still got something to learn. And so if you can force yourself today to find it within yourself, to suspend your judgment, suspend whatever it is that you believe is true or right or healthiest, and to be as curious as possible with the client that you're facing today, with the challenging employee or the challenging boss, it will help you develop a sense of humility. I believe curiosity, it's like going to the gym for your physique. It builds the muscle. Curiosity builds the muscle of humility in our lives.
I mean, I never really thought of it as like asking questions thinking of it now after hearing your explanation, it makes a lot more sense because there's like some questions where I ask people where it's blatantly like, I don't know what's going on here. Can you help me with this? So asking a lot of questions, that's just one of the ways. Clay, that was like a really great insight there. That's definitely going to stick in the back of my mind for quite a while. But one of the things I want to ask you is that we talked a little bit about building on like a faith in yourself, a faith in your work. We talked about being able to maintain that faith even when things are getting tough. But what do you believe holds most people back from being able to have a level of faith in their work and what they're doing?
I mean, there's so many things, I think, that keep us from maybe being able to have the faith that we want to have. Again, all of us are exerting some sort of faith today. I mean, when you sat on the chair that you're sitting in, assuming that you're sitting down, you had faith in that chair that it was going to hold you up. So all of us have some sort of faith that we're exercising on a regular basis. For me, I've got so much of it is my morning routine that allows me to center myself. It allows me to, gives me the freedom to be able to pray like I know I want to pray, to be able to read devotional material. For me, I spend a lot of time reading the Bible, particularly the New Testament, the writings of Jesus, the writings about Jesus, because it helps remind me that I'm small, that I've got a purpose today, that I've got a Father that in heaven that loves me, that I'm not alone, that there's no challenge today that I can't overcome because His power is at work in me. It reminds me that I'm weak. It reminds me that I'm dependent. All of those things, for me, they're part of my morning routine because it gives me the perspective that I need to be able to approach the day. So whatever your routine is in the morning, I feel like it has to encompass some sort of form of, it has to encompass you leading yourself, you leading your thoughts, determining for yourself, what are you going to believe about the circumstances that you face today? And how are you going to respond to those?
Those are some really good questions that we should think about. I mean, like, how are we going to respond to some of the different things that can come our way? And there's just a lot of things that do hold people back from being able to tap into their faith towards their work, towards their ambitions. But Clay really hit a few good ideas, like, right on the head. So, but again, like, those questions, just really insightful to think about some of the obstacles that are going to come your way and how you're going to respond. Because if you could build a strong response going in, then it's easier for you to maintain that faith. And I mean, maybe a few more times when I sit in this chair, yes, I am sitting while doing this interview, I'll think, wow, I have faith that this chair is going to hold me. Something that, like, I feel like that's one of the more subconscious ones where you're not consciously thinking about it. So I think for everyone listening, if you're more conscious of the subconscious thoughts that, okay, this chair is going to hold me today, then it's easier to build on something like that.
That's great.
And I know that, like, a lot of people are facing a lot of challenges, which is why, you know, you need to have that level of faith. And that's why we're having this conversation, because some people, they face that challenge, their faith shatters. Other people, they face that same challenge, they have the faith and what they're doing, and they're able to propel past that challenge. So with challenges in mind, I'm wondering, Clay, if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Yeah, the one of the challenges that I constantly face is feeling like I'm not good enough, or feeling like I'm an imposter. Even, you know, I wrote this book, it landed in the category of leadership. I didn't necessarily set out to write a leadership book, but so much of writing about leadership caused, it surfaced a lot of insecurity or a lot of challenges in my own heart, in my own life, about whether or not I have what it takes, which I feel like for anybody today that's starting a business, or anybody today that feels like what you're working on today is bigger than yourself, I feel like that's quite normal. In fact, that's a very healthy thing to think of. That's a very healthy way to think about your work. And instead of being intimidated by it, instead of allowing it to tap into your insecurities or your the weaknesses that you feel, I've really found those to be times where I can feel more dependent on anything outside of myself. You know, for me, that's where my faith in God shows up most, is having to decide, you know what, that I am not holding the future, but I've got someone that I can rely on that is. I'm not responsible for outcomes, that I'm responsible to put work in and to hustle and to grind, but I've got somebody who is responsible for outcomes. I'm not responsible for other people's emotions. I'm responsible for my own emotions. I'm responsible for how I'm leading myself. And I'm accountable to help other people and to be an encouragement and to be an inspiration to other people, but I'm not responsible for other people's emotions, but I know the one who can lead other people emotionally. So those are things that have been challenges for me that I've had to learn to overcome in order to take another step today, in order to get out of bed today, quite honestly. And so for whoever's listening, the same thing is true for you. No matter if you're starting a business, no matter if you're in the middle of a business, whatever challenges you face, learning to see those challenges as opportunities to rely on something outside of yourself, I think is crucial.
And I really like the idea of relying on things outside of yourself, because we only have so much that we know. We only can do so much, but looking for some of these outside sources for inspiration and moving forward can really help us with the goals that we're pursuing. And another thing that can help us with our goals is self-education. And with that in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us three books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Yeah, one of my favorite leadership books is called Leadership and Self-Deception. It's by the Arbinger Group. That's been a fantastic read for me. The Leadership Challenge is a book that I come back to over and over again that is a resource for me. And then the book that I probably read most lately with our leadership team in our organization is a book called Predictable Success. All three of those books have been really challenging for me.
Clay, thank you for sharing those great book recommendations. We will have all of those in the show notes, marketbreak.com/E271. And we'll also throw in my book, Content Marketing Secrets, where we recently released the audiobook version of that book. And before we wrap up this episode of Breakthrough Success, Clay, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together. You mentioned two really good questions that we should be asking ourselves, and the obstacles and how we're going to respond when those come our way. But what do you believe is another question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Yeah, one of the questions that I love is not a question for yourself, but it's really a question for other people, is what is it like to be on the other side of me? I think it's a healthy question to ask, because it allows you to get into the middle of what it is that's cultivating influence for you and what it is that's costing influence for you. And ultimately, every single one of us, we owe it to ourselves to know what are those things that we're doing that are helping us create more influence with others, and what are those things we're doing that are hurting us in creating more influence than others. And the best place to look is to allow other people to speak into that, to allow other people around us to help us monitor the life that we're living. And so asking not just yourself, but asking the people around you, hey, what is it like to be on the other side of me? I have found to be a super helpful tool in helping me learn how to cultivate more influence and learn how to eliminate the things in my life that are costing me influence.
Clay, thank you for sharing with us that really great question and an interesting role reversal where it's not just this is what I should ask myself. It's also let me ask other people, and that really does help out with boosting your humble, that theme, that your humility, that theme that we touched on a little earlier. So thank you for giving us that question and all of your great insights throughout our time together. If you guys want to learn more about Clay, grab your copy of How to Lead When You're Not in Charge. The link to that book will be in the show notes. But in addition to your book, Clay, is there any other places where you want us to go to learn more about you and keep in touch?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, at Clay Scroggins. And then I've got a website, clayscroggins.com. I would love to keep in touch. You can get some weekly updates, and I send out a weekly email of encouragement and hope and a lot of challenges for all of us as we're trying to learn how to lead beyond our position.
Clay, thank you for sharing with us some of those ways to keep in touch with us. Social media is a really powerful tool, so you can use all those to connect with Clay. But once again, Clay, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thanks, Mark.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn